wonder if in your lifetime anyone important has ever come to town. King Charles came to town, didn't he? Came to Leeds in November. And I heard that there was a real buzz around the city on that day. Crowds were gathering, flags were waving, there were officials, there were fences, people were stopping, people getting too close to King Charles. But there was a real buzz, and I'm wondering if anyone here was there on that day. Did anyone here see King Charles? No, we were all too busy for King Charles on that day. That's fine. But I think there would have been a real buzz in the city. Now, I want to take you back in time, okay? I want to take you back to 1992, okay? Wimbledon, centre court, men's finals, last set. Agassi was in town, and he was playing Ivanisevic in the men's finals. And it was getting really tense. They both won two sets each, and it was the final set. Now, I was there at Wimbledon that year, but not as a spectator. I'd got a summer job as a guide stroke litter picker. Okay, probably more of the litter picking, less of the guiding. But I was there, and the Wimbledon Cleaning Company that recruited from my university each year, and I've managed to get this job. And just to prove that I'm not making this up, there I am, bottom right, looking very excited in front of the Wimbledon logo with my other guides, stroke litter pickers. And I always thought that white probably wasn't the right colour for a litter picker. So I was a little bit surprised that we got these white uniforms, but they did look very smart. And I think the girl behind me, her copy of the photo, she would have been a little bit disappointed, wouldn't she? Because I'm covering her face with my visor there. So, yeah, a little bit disappointed, probably. We did get to keep socks. We gave the uniform back, but we did get to keep the socks, so that was good. So, it was the final set, and I just finished my shift. I'd swept up the last rogue strawberry and a few fag ends, because it was 1992. And I started sprinting really fast to centre court. My plan was to try and get just a glimpse of the action, if I could. Now, I was slightly invested in this, as earlier in the tournament, I had managed to walk Agassi onto court two with some of the other guides and also some of the ball girls. And now he'd got to the final. So earlier I got to walk him onto court two and I stood there like this, like they do, facing the crowd. And it was a real honour and a real privilege. So I got to centre court and I started running round, looking at the gangways and the gates. And I was peering through, just trying to see if I could see anything. But unfortunately, there were these big, burly security guards. And they weren't letting anyone through. Obviously, I didn't have a seat. But lots of other staff, like me, had the same idea. And there were little crowds round each gate. So I started running round. Then I went up to the next level, and I did the same. Oh, no luck. Up to the next level, and then I spotted a security guard that I knew, and I went like this. I poked my finger through the people, poked him in the back. He turned around and waved at me, and he let me through the little crowd that had gathered around that gate, around that gangway, and he picked me up and put me on his shoulders. I was a lot lighter in those days. I was a lot lighter. I think I felt a little bit like Zacchaeus might have felt, looking down onto the court. But I saw Agassi win Wimbledon in 1992. I saw when he dropped to his knees And he raised his hands up like this, and then he put his head in his hands. He couldn't believe it. Complete disbelief. Now, the gatekeeper at Wimbledon let me past, but the women and children in our passage today weren't so lucky initially, were they? As we approach this passage, we need to remember that Jesus was a big deal. By this point, he'd healed the sick, he'd fed the 5,000, he cast out demons, he performed all these miracles, and he had also preached the most amazing sermons to thousands and thousands of people. He'd also debated the best minds in the country, and he'd won, hadn't he? He'd wiped the floor with them. Now, Jesus was coming to town, and it was a really big deal. Word had spread, and of course, wherever Jesus went, big crowds often followed. Now, some women had heard that Jesus was in town, and they decided that they were going to bring their little children to Jesus so that he could bless them. And although women couldn't actively worship in public in those days, it was customary for them to bring their little children to a rabbi so he could bless them. Now, I think the children might have started to crawl through the men's legs to try to get to Jesus. Maybe the women were working out how they could get around the crowd to get closer. And then they came up against the disciples, the self-appointed gatekeepers. Uh-oh. Now, the disciples must have forgotten what Jesus had already told them on an earlier occasion about how important children were because of their very simple faith, which stood in very stark contrast. It was very different to the stubbornness of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who let their education and their pompous ways stand in the way of a very simple faith that was needed to believe in Jesus. Now, at this point, Jesus had often been criticized for mixing too much with the wrong people. That's what people's opinion was, wasn't it? He was mixing with children, women, tax collectors, and sinners. And some people, including the disciples, thought that Jesus should be spending more time with important leaders and religious people, and that that was the way to elevate his position and avoid criticism. But Jesus didn't need to elevate his position. He was God. He was God. He wanted to spend time and speak to those who needed him most. So the disciples tried to stop the mums bringing the children to Jesus. They thought Jesus was far too busy for little children. And Jesus was angry with the disciples. It says, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Now, can you imagine the love and the compassion as Jesus took those little children up into his arms and blessed them? He wasn't put off by their runny noses or their mucky hands, was he? I wonder what Old Testament verses were going through his mind. Maybe Psalm 127 or God's promise to Abraham, maybe. Now, if you're a child here today, I want you to know that you are really, really precious to God. He has plans for your life. You are so special, and you are a real gift to your parents. Yes, you need to obey your parents and your teachers, but I want you to know that you are just as important to Jesus as any of the grown-ups here in this room today. You are to be loved and taught, prayed for, and invested in. And we really love having you here as part of our church family. And we hope that we can help to bring you closer to Jesus in junior church and in creche, and also in some of the activities that we run in the week. Now, we have some toddler groups, as many of you know, that I'm involved in the week. And one of the things that we hope that families, and particularly young children, take away with them at the end of a session, and that is that Jesus loves them. And we end our story by having a hug just to remind ourselves of that. We have lots of non-Christian families that come along to the toddler groups, and I just want them to take that away with them. So how can we have faith like little children? Does it mean that we have to become immature? Does it mean we have to forget about all the wisdom and life experience that we've built up over the years? No. It just means that we have to balance that with some of the qualities that I'm going to talk about next. Now, we know how little children feel just by looking at their faces, don't we? Yeah, we know how they're feeling. Sometimes we don't even have to look at their faces. Sometimes we can just hear from another room how they're feeling, can't we? We know if they're happy, sad, hungry, angry, or in pain. Little children are totally honest, aren't they? They live in the moment. They can't hide how they feel, can they? And yes, as they get older, they develop a little bit more self-control. They might learn how to lie. Never good, children, never good. Parents can spot a lie a mile off. But when they're really little, their emotions are raw. They're unfiltered, aren't they? And they're honest. Little children tell it like it is. And we love them for their honesty, don't we? Most of the time. Now, one day, I remember a time, we were crossing Town Street in Horsforth, and I was with my family, and there was a dog owner that was crossing the road. And this dog owner had a massive dog, yeah? I think it was probably a Great Dane. It was huge. It was nearly the size of a donkey, honestly. It was huge. And my daughter, she pointed at this massive dog and she shouted, "I don't like big dogs! I don't like big dogs!" Just like that. And so I looked at the dog owner and I sort of mouthed in a slightly embarrassed way, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And I kind of like shuffled off to the side of the road looking quite embarrassed. But it was fine. She was just saying what she saw, wasn't she? She was just being really honest. When little children pray, they pray from the heart. And we can really learn from that, can't we? Yeah? And I think God wants us to be real with Him when we pray. He wants to know how we feel in a really unfiltered way. He wants to know the joy that we feel, the anger that we feel, the pain that we feel. He just wants us to keep it real. Now, little children are totally dependent on their parents and carers to clothe them, to feed them, to love them, and give them all the things that they need to grow and thrive. They can't reach things on a high shelf, can they? They can't drive. They can't, like, rustle up a Sunday roast. It just doesn't happen. They just don't have the life experience to be able to do that. They trust God in a really simple and beautiful way. And just like little children are totally dependent on their parents, God wants us to be totally dependent on Him, our Heavenly Father. As adults, we tend to want to do things in our own strength and knowledge. We struggle to be dependent on others sometimes, don't we? But God wants us to trust in Him to provide for us. In Matthew 6, verses 25 to 27, He says not to worry about where our food comes from, where our clothes come from. Because just as God gives the birds food, how much more does He value us? How much more will He look after us? It says, "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And that's true, isn't it? Now, little children are carefree and curious, aren't they? And they have a sense of awe, and they ask a lot of questions. Lots of children go through the why phase. If you're a parent here, you'll remember the why phase. Now, I'll never forget when Sam first went to Legoland. Has anyone here ever been to Legoland? It's amazing, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. He was really little. He got to sit in a 25-foot ball pool full of loose pieces of Lego. He couldn't believe it. His eyes were like saucers. He was looking out. He was just like, wow, this is fantastic. He gave it a 10 out of 10. Okay, and that in Sam money, that is amazing. Okay, university is getting a 6.8 out of 10 at the moment. So uni doesn't compare to Legoland, clearly. But he loved it. When I first went to Bird World for a birthday party when I was younger, it was just me and a friend, and I got to see a parrot for the first time. Yeah, I think I might have seen one on telly, but I got to see one in real life. It was beautiful, it was amazing. I had this sense of awe. And I had a sense of awe when I first heard some of the Bible stories as well. The miracles that Jesus performed. I had that sense of awe about Jesus' creation and the things that he did for me, because he loved me so much. As adults, sometimes we're too busy to be in awe of God, aren't we? We're too busy to sit down and think about what Jesus has actually done for us, to be present in the moment, to be curious, to ask questions. We gatekeep our time, don't we? Now, little children haven't earned the food or the clothing that their parents give to them in the same way that adults earn money by working hard, like Agassi earned his trophy at Wimbledon. Parents just give these things unconditionally to their children because they love them. It's part of being a parent, isn't it? And children are happy to accept it. They're happy to receive it, to take it. There's none of the cynicism that comes with age. They accept Jesus' unconditional love for them, that he died on the cross for them, for those bad things that they've done, so that they can be with Jesus forever in heaven in the future. And we need to accept the same, don't we? Now, sometimes we find it hard to accept things that we haven't earned. We haven't earned God's grace, but he gives it to us freely, doesn't it? All we need to do is to believe in him. So how can we have faith like little children? We need to balance the wisdom and the life experience that we've got and we've gathered over the years with the honesty, trust, awe, and acceptance of little child's childlike, simple faith.